Well, go ahead and open up to both Genesis. You know what I mean by that, right? Well, Genesis 1 and John chapter 1. Yeah, open up to both of them. They both start within the beginning. Amen. And it really is a Genesis in both cases. One's the Genesis in the natural, one's the Genesis in the spirit. This is the third message I'm doing in a series called God at War. And the title of this one is called The Invasion of Light. The Invasion of Light. I think I'll do a little synopsis first, since many of you probably have not heard the first two messages. The first one was done on a Sunday, last Sunday night, I believe it was, and we called it God at War D-Day. And what happened there, I had one of those split-screen visions like he often uses with me, where it's like in my mind I'm seeing two things, one on the right-hand side and one on the left-hand side. And on the right-hand side, I saw the invasion of Normandy on D-Day, Operation Overlord. Where most of you, you know, if you watch history at all, I've watched those old black and white newsreels so much. I mean, they're just like they're a part of me. And I can just see on the right-hand side, I was seeing that invasion crossing the English Channel over to the France to establish that beachhead. And if you've ever seen those newsreels, that was quite an invasion. It's the most, the largest invasion ever by man on planet Earth. But on the left-hand side of all things, I saw a little boat. You know how visions are. You just know what you know, and you don't know how you know. But it was a little boat struggling in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. And I knew it represented when the disciples were taking Jesus to the other side. And I had never really equated those two things before. But then in this vision, I saw this little, you know, France was totally occupied by the Nazis. One of the things that always makes me mad when I see that picture, that image, video of the newsreel of Hitler and his henchmen standing right there at the Eiffel Tower. You ever see that? Man, it just curdles my blood. Makes me upset. But for some reason, the Lord showed me this. I saw, I mean, France, they resisted, but at this point, they were totally conquered. They, without help, they're going to stay conquered. And in this vision on the right-hand side, he kept showing me this little French boy, maybe 7 to 9 years old. He was huddled kind of in his little apartment, little room, wherever he lived with his family. It was kind of dark and scary. And the Lord was just showing me this little boy, through no fault of his own, was now a total captive of the Nazis. He had no strength to deliver himself. There was nothing he himself could do. He had to hope for someone stronger than him to come and set him free. Well, that's the Normandy invasion. That's exactly what happened. And it was not without price. I mean, if you've ever seen those newsreels, I remember Saving Private Ryan. Boy, they did a job with that one, you know. And these guys are in those, these soldiers are in those ducks, whatever those boats are with the big gate in front that's going to drop down, and they're going to rush out when they get to the beach, you know. And it showed them it. I never thought of it till I saw that movie, but they're inside that boat, and you can hear the bullets plinging off that front gate. That's the only thing keeping the bullets from hitting them. Pling, 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 pling. And they're going to drop that thing? Next thing stopping the bullets is you. And that's exactly what they did. And that'll introduce the next service, but the second service. But to keep it in context, a stronger than Hitler had to come. Can I say that? Well, at the same time, this split-screen vision is going on, and at first I didn't totally see it so well. I had to go read the story again. See, we forget that that is the same day, that event where they crossed over to the other side, that is the same day that Jesus taught in Mark chapter 4, the parable of the sower. And he plainly told them, when the word is sown into you, the enemy is going to come by any means he has to remove that word. Cares of this world. First, he's hoping you just don't understand it. cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches. In other words, can I just say distraction? I don't care what it is, as long as it gets you off the word. But this time it meant a little more to me because, see, let's fast forward just a little. He was showing me on the right-hand side this little seven-year-old French boy. But on the left-hand side, I saw the madman of Gadara, who was absolutely a captive, absolutely conquered. 2,000 devils. That's a little possessed. He's beyond repentance. This guy's beyond your counseling. Someone stronger than 2,000 devils has to come. And the mission, he taught the parable of the sower. When the sower sows the word to them was, let us cross over to the other side. Isn't that not the Normandy invasion? Let us cross over to France. Let us cross over to the other side. Because when we get there, we're going to set the captives free. And it's going to be war. It'll be total war. Well, on the left-hand side, and what happened? What did he tell them was going to happen? He says, when the word is sown, diversion is going to come trying to get you off of the word. Well, the word was, let's go to the other side. That storm got so bad, they totally forgot. It got to the point of, don't you care that we perish? And how many people have given up on prayer and fasting and pursuit of the revival because it just got so bad? Don't you care that we perish? In other words, we love you, Jesus. We heard what you said, but we're about to die here. And our focus now is on us, not getting to the other side. Well, that's exactly why those things come. And that's why Jesus said, why is it you have no faith? Can't teach much there. But you've got to keep in mind the mission. This Jesus coming across that sea is an invasion of light into darkness. Here is a man totally possessed, 2,000 devils. We know he had at least 2,000 because when Jesus cast it out, 2,000 pigs got possessed and they ran off into the sea. Can you imagine somebody with 2,000 devils? Man, that's got to be scary. You know, and they couldn't, he had supernatural strength. They couldn't bind this guy with chains. Now, there are some pretty buff old boys in here, pretty good sized fellas. I bet you we got chains that'll hold you. They didn't have any that could hold him. Somebody, here's a big old boy. We still got a chain big enough for you back there. It's a big one. But you can find a big enough chain. They could not bind this guy with chains. For crying out loud. He cut himself, moaning. I wonder what that sounded like. Scary. How many want that assignment? Let me see right now. I'm taking a show of hands. Madman of Gadara. The point is the invasion of light. So that was the first message. There's a lot more on there that I'm just giving you a brief synopsis. I really recommend that message to you. Then the second one that we did, I believe, Wednesday night. The title escapes me. Oh, I think I've got it here. Requirements, I changed it to something else. Angie will tell me, my amplifier will tell me in just a minute here. The first title I put on it was Requirements for Disciples Are the Same as Requirements for Soldiers. He woke me up at 3:30 in the morning. You know, that thing that those three requirements that sound so hard to us, you know, like he that comes after me, you can't love your family, your wife, your children, even your own life also. If you love them more than me, you can't be my disciple. The second one, if you don't take up your cross and follow me, you can't be my disciple. And the third one, if you don't forsake all that you have, you can't be my disciple. And he woke me up at 3:30 in the morning to show me every soldier has to do those same three requirements. Every one of them. Man, when my daddy, when they shipped him off in World War II, to go fight the Germans, he had to leave houses and lands and wife and brethren and sister. And his own life also. He knew there was a good chance. All of them knew there was a shot. They weren't coming back. Isn't that right? T- take up your cross not only means discipline. Yeah, he had to go through boot camp. All of them have to go through boot camp. Guess what, soldier? So do we. Going, he's trying to toughen us up. What do you think it means, endure hardness as a soldier? Get tough. Get tough, see? But then also take up your cross means whatever assignment you're given, that's the assignment you do. You don't get to choose whether you're assigned to the Battle of the Bulge or some secretarial duty somewhere. If you're in the army, you do what they assign you. That's your cross. Isn't that right? You do what they say. That's what a soldier does. I like Oliver North one time. He was talking about, he says, listen, I'm a good soldier. When I am told charge the hill, I salute smartly and I charge the hill. That's a soldier. That's take up your cross. And then whosoever does not forsake all that he hath. Wouldn't do. My dad couldn't say, well, I'll serve over here in this war unless my business at home starts going bad. Then I'm coming back. No. No. That doesn't work, does it? It's total war. You're a soldier. Now this would, so that's lesson number two. And by the way, Jesus did not ask us to do anything he did not do first. We're not here to play church. We're here to deliver a lost world. Rescue as many as we can out of it. All right. Well, that brings us to today. God at War, the Invasion of Light. Do you ever find that title? Soldiers of the Cross. The second one is called God at War, Soldiers of the Cross. All right. Did you find Genesis 1? If you can't find Genesis 1, come on. Now I want you to watch Light and Darkness. This title is The Invasion of Light. So in the very beginning, I want you to see the parallels between this natural creation and in the spiritual creation in John. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Now notice. And what was upon the face of the deep? Keep that in mind. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. So what if we said it this way? Even without form and void, darkness covered the earth. Isn't that, would that be okay? All right. So what was there was darkness. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. Now we could keep on reading. It tells all about the natural creation. God made this and God made that. And God made this and God made that. And finally God makes man. And then finally he takes woman out of the man. And after all of that is said and done, he looks at his creation. And it is not only good, it is very good. Try and imagine a world without sin. Try and imagine a world without mosquitoes. Or if there was mosquitoes, they sure didn't suck your blood. I'm telling you now, I don't, you know, they weren't like the mosquitoes we had. Try and imagine a world with no crime. This world, don't ever get it mixed up. People blame God all the time. This world is not like he made it. This is not the world he intended, and it's not the world he's going to wind up with. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells. There'll be no more pain, no more sickness, and no more death, and I'm going to live there. I pray you live there. I pray all your family and all everyone you know lives there. But what you do here determines whether you live there. You got that? But you see that? Darkness. And then there was an invasion of light. First thing God did, he invaded darkness with light. Got it? All right. I go over to John. Chapter 1, verse 1. I still hear pages turning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now notice, in him was life, and the life was the what? The life was the light of men. Now notice, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The whole world lies in darkness. Right near the end of John, 1 John, when we were teaching on that, right near the end, it says, the whole world lieth in wickedness. And the better translation is, the whole world lieth in the power of the wicked one. Even Paul calls Satan the god of this world, little g, little g. But he is the god of this world. Paul wasn't lying. When he offered to give Jesus all the kingdoms of this world and the glory of it, Jesus didn't argue with him because he has them. Picture from God's point of view, the earth again. Although now the material earth has been there for thousands of years, but God looking on it spiritually, again, the whole world is covered in darkness. Before Jesus is begins in the womb of Mary, there's not a single person on earth that has light in their spirit. The Bible says the candle, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Every human has a spirit. Adam was created with a lit spirit. His candle was lit, and he was alive to God until he fell. He still got a candle, but the light went out. And every generation, that darkness, that death was passed to every generation all the way down. That's why the Bible said there's none righteous. You can take the most holy, the ones we put on the pedestal. You can take the Hebrews faith chapter, you know, Noah, Moses, Samson, all of them. But the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. Not until Jesus came. See? So from God's point of view, it's like he's looking down and there's all these millions of humans on planet Earth and it's all darkness. And to make matters worse, there's a fallen angel who has taken up the defaulted authority from Adam. And he has set himself up as the god little g of this world. He's not a god, he's a fallen angel, he's a devil. But still, he's the god of this world, of this world system. And the whole world is under his control. Now you talk about that's worse than France. See, that's the whole world. Every human on earth is like that little boy when it comes to sin, at least. Let's talk about sin first. There's not a one of them that can live without sinning. Not one. There's not one righteous. Not one. Every human on earth is being held captive, just like that little French boy. And they may not be as possessed as the madman of Gadara, but they are slaves to sin. You know, you understand better now why it says in Romans 6, you were slaves to sin? Everybody was. You had a sin nature. And God's looking. There is no deliverer. There is not one human, not one person on earth that can set man free. So I was up this morning praying. I just began typing as the Holy Spirit spoke with me. I tried to have time. You're good students of the word. Most of you will recognize the word that goes with every one of these sentences. There just was no time for me to look them all up for you. You'll have to look them up yourself. Homework assignment. So with that scenario, with that backdrop, let me just read to you how he began sharing it with me this morning. You know, Dave used to say, oh no, the dreaded yellow page. You know. Well, oh no, the dreaded typed paper. But anyway. The whole world, this is what I wrote, the whole world lies in darkness. Through Jesus Christ, light is come into the world. It is an invasion of light. The whole world lies in the power of the wicked one. The righteous one has come to destroy the works of the devil. Remember that? 1 John? Manifested to destroy the works of the devil. It is war. It is the God of light at war against the fallen angel who has set himself up as the God of this world. All humanity has been taken captive by darkness. There is none righteous. No, not one. There is not a single child of light on planet Earth. Now, this is before Jesus. Okay? So God becomes a man who is empowered by light. Remember what John said? God is light. God becomes a man who is empowered by light in order to go to war against this little g god of darkness. It is important, and I'm going to say imperative, to understand that he came as a man and not as a god. He came as a man born of God and anointed by the Holy Spirit. His intention was to be the firstborn of many brethren. He wanted to make disciples who would be as their master. And he wanted to make disciples who could live above sin, submit their will to the will of God, and rescue as many people as possible from darkness. To be born again means to be reborn with the same life that raised Christ from the dead. You die to your old life as a son of Adam. Christ has become your Adam now. And his life is your life. You have become one with Christ in spirit. But how much you walk as him depends on how much you allow your mind to be renewed. A renewed mind is not a mind simply renewed with knowledge. It is a mind renewed with knowledge that is yielded to the will of Christ. The carnal mind, the unrenewed mind, is hostile to God. It is the enemy of God. It must be replaced with the mind of Christ, but it is much more than knowledge alone. It must have the same heart motivations of Christ. Otherwise, that mind has not become a disciplined follower of Christ. There is a vast difference between a renewed mind and a still rebellious mind that is simply full of religious knowledge. That is the mind of a Pharisee. That is the mind of those who were Christ's enemies. That is a mind that will crucify Christ before it will bow to him. God could have wiped out the human race and the entire universe and simply started again. Isn't that true? Could do that if he wanted to. Okay, wipe the slate clean. Start again. But there's one primary reason he did not. And that reason is love. Did you ever hear of John 3:16? He wasn't willing to let all those people perish. For God so loved the world, even in its fallen state, even when it was total darkness, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The plan of God was not to be a one-man show by Jesus Christ that would end when he ascended into heaven. God planned an invasion. An invasion of many sons brought to glory. And by the way, you women are just as much sons as any man. In Christ Jesus, there is neither male nor female. You're as much a soldier in the army as any man in here. So read that sentence again. God planned an invasion. An invasion of many sons brought to glory. An invasion of an army of disciples who are as their master. Remember that lesson I did recently? The disciple must be as his master. And that's what he intended. An invasion by children of light invading the darkness. An invasion of holy warriors who know they have been given authority in the name of Jesus over all the power of the enemy. An invasion of those who understand their mission is to kick down every gate of the enemy and to set every captive free. We are to heal and deliver all who have been bound by Satan. And how do we know that? Because he said, the works that I do shall you do also. Well, the works that he did, Acts 10:38 is a pretty good summary. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing how many? And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. It was an invasion of light into the darkness. You think Hitler was a tyrant? He's got nothing on Satan. He has every miracle you see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. A woman bowed over all those years. A woman with the issue of blood. On and on. The leper. On and on. Every single one of them, it says, was oppressed of the devil. From Jesus' point of view, they were captives of war. Held behind the enemy gate like, I've got them and there's nothing you can do about it. And Jesus says, the gates of hell will not prevail against me and my church. And it didn't matter what it was, what kind of oppression it was. Nothing was too hard. Kick the door down, heal, deliver, set the captive free. Even if they're blind, restore their sight. If they're missing a leg, grow out a new one. And he's making disciples out of us. He intends for Joel's army to rise up and be the invasion of light that he called us to be. And we're still struggling with sin? Good Lord, let's get on with it. It's fasting season. Fast until every sin falls off on the floor. Walk away and leave it there. No, sweep it out the door. Don't leave it there. We're still playing around with, am I free from sin? The devil sits back and laughs. But he'll get in fear if we ever start going into boot camp, finding out who we really are, shake off the not only every sin, but every weight that's holding us back. There's a lot of things that are just weights, just holding you back. Get in your prayer closet and pray. And that reminds me, today starts the week of Jim Martin where they're, I'm not saying you have to do it, but today they're starting the electronics fast. What does that mean? No TV? Oh, wow. No movies? No Facebook? No Instagram? What are you going to do with that time? I'm going to pray. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to read. We're going to study our blueprints. Get quiet, do our best to get quiet and listen, see if we've missed any steps or what the next step. I only need to know the next step. I don't need to know all of them. You don't either. All you need to know is the next step. I pray to God it gets so good this week, I don't even want to go back to any of that stuff. It would be good to get so involved in the war. Movies have just no appeal anymore. Or TVs or nothing, you know, whatever your thing is. See, you pick on one thing, they go, there we go, yeah, but you keep talking, they go, oh, man. Yeah, those Facebook movies. Or whatever. Game shows. Anyway. The point is the distraction. The whole point of that storm was to get them off mission. The whole point, everything that comes is to get you off mission. When he's really doing, what God's plan is to finish that process of transforming each of us to the very image of Christ. Mark has a, I'm going to steal it from Mark. I'm telling him I'm stealing it, so you know I stole it. Mark has a great example that he uses everywhere. You know, take a glass of tea, and I guess it'd be hot tea. Anyway, you mix in the milk. You mix in the sugar. Now, that's delicious, isn't it? You know what you can't do? Take the milk back out. Take the sugar back out. Hadn't it all three things become one? Do you understand? We keep trying to live different, separate, apart. Like I'm me and Jesus is him. You and him have been mixed together. You and him is one. And guess what? The Father's in him. And him is in you. And you're one. See, that's the renewed mind. It's not just knowledge. It's where your heart motivations meld, merge, mingle, where you, what matters to Him is what matters to you. See, what He loves, you love, and what He hates, you hate. It's not a matter of... most of my Christian life, I've had this image of Gary and Jesus in here, struggling for who's going to be dominant. And that's just not the way it is. It's a possession by Christ. Paul understood. He said, it's no longer even I that live. Well, yet it is, but it's Christ in me. To the Philippians, he said, to me, as far as I'm concerned, for me to live is Christ. Boy, I have meditated that, because that's a very arrogant thing to say unless it's true. You know what that means? If you study, what that really means is Paul is saying, listen, if you followed me around today and you see everything I do, if I was totally absent and Jesus had this body today and you followed Him around, you wouldn't see anything different than what you see me do, because it's Christ who lives in me. Now that is possible. Not only possible, that is the gospel. That's a renewed mind. That's a renewed, not an intellectual know-it-all mind. That's a renewed mind that has bowed, mingled, mixed, become one with Christ. Is that okay? Did I do okay? Praise the Lord. All right. Let me read Acts 10:38 again. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. Oh, and He hasn't been having us go through those images that we've been putting up on the projector, starting with the little candle, starting then with the tornado of fire, then the merging of those two things, which is you and the Holy Ghost have become one, but I can still see your candle in there, but you and Him are one. Where one moves, the other goes. It's you and the Holy Ghost. Alan was talking today. I don't know what they're going to title it. My favorite sentence in it was, you cannot get the impossible out of the possible. See, we can't do what the Holy Spirit can do. He can't do what He can do without us. If He did, why did He wait for Jesus? If He could do it without Him, couldn't do it without Him. Was He here? Sure, He was here. He's everywhere. So why isn't more happening? A glass of tea needs a little more stirring. I don't think there's enough dissolving, mingling, merging yet. Anyway, you can't get the impossible out of the possible. We've got to merge with this Holy Ghost, the baptism of fire. We have got the same Holy Ghost on the inside of us that Jesus had on the inside of Him. Pulsating, throbbing power. All things are possible. There's a line in a song. I know they're talking about Jesus in that song. It says, I don't want to talk about you like you're not in the room. I feel like that about the Holy Ghost all the time. I feel like I talk about Him like He's not in the room all the time. How crazy is that? See, He's a real person. He's not a thing. He's real. And I wonder what every time I walk, I just walk by crippled somewhere. I just walk by because my life is about something else. I'm on my way to do something important, like buy toothpaste at Walmart. It's important. We're out of toothpaste. And I know you need toothpaste, but I wonder what he thinks. So, wonder what he thinks. I just walk by. Got the very power of God on the inside of me. But toothpaste, you know. We'll read Acts 10:38 again. It's how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Listen, that verse that says, He is the firstborn of many brethren. And it's His intention to bring many sons to glory. Why? Because of John 14:12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Alan's been teaching it real straight. I think it was last week when he said, I hope I say it right. He said, listen, if you believe it, you have it. Did you know Smith Wigglesworth? That's an exact quote almost from Smith Wigglesworth. He said, the man who believes it has it. If you don't have it, you don't believe it. Well, Alan said the same thing, and it's true. It's true. Well, the word of God is not going to change. God is not going to change. The devil's not going to change. Did you know that's really good news? Because there is one thing that can change. And that's us. You can work on the part of you that does not believe until you do believe. Don't you wish there was a church where the pastor would have laid out for the people how they could be taught by God himself to go from a state of non-belief to a state of believing? Oh, we go to that church. Thank God for Pastor Dave Roberson who laid it out. If you want to be tutored, taught, can I say hand-trained by the Holy Ghost, Pastor Dave laid it out for us. And like it or not, one of those things is fasting. Matthew 17, when they couldn't, these guys had been casting out devils, but they could not cast the devil out of that epileptic boy, whatever we say epileptic, lunatic boy. He had seizures, whatever it was. They'd been casting out devils, but they couldn't cast that one out. And we don't like it that it's in our Bible, you know. They didn't think they had unbelief. So why couldn't we cast it out? He said, because of your unbelief. And you go, well, what would I do about my unbelief? Oh, this kind goeth not out. Now, he just got onto him for not casting that devil out. He's not saying that devil won't go out. No, the problem wasn't the big nasty devil. The problem was their unbelief. This kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Now, this is a preview. I'm not really teaching on fasting today. Many of your more, quote, modern Bibles have that in italics, or they'll have a footnote, and they'll say that those verses aren't in the Bible. Well, I beg to differ. But even if you allow that, take them to Mark 9, because Jesus says the same thing there. And there's no footnote there. See, they all know it's in Mark 9. Not one of them mentions it, because they don't want you to know. Prayer and fasting has to do with dealing with unbelief. Hallelujah. So Jesus said again in John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. I got a few more paragraphs here. Let me finish this up. See, now that I'm seeing this, now that I'm understanding, I'm telling you, my understanding, and I hope yours too, of the gospel has so evolved over these last decades. My whole thing to start with was Jesus came to save sinners. Well, he most certainly did. But then I found out he came to destroy the works of the devil. Well, he most certainly did. Then I found out at first, you know, in my selfishness, well, it's all about me. He came to save me so Gary E. could go to heaven. Well, he did. But see, now that when I'm seeing more and more from heaven's perspective, this is a war. He has called us to be an army, an invasion of light in this world of darkness. Not only to just witness with, I mean, the first thing to look, I mean, getting above sin, we should have been above sin the first few months we were saved. And if we'd have been trained by the Apostle John, we would have. Or we'd have been skedaddled. You know what skedaddled mean? We'd left. And a lot of them did. He talked about them. Said a lot of them, they couldn't handle it. He wouldn't take, you know, he wouldn't. Now he's the apostle of love. You know, he's the one that Jesus turned his own mother over to. But boy, when I read 1 John, this apostle of love is tough. He that knows God and continues to walk in darkness is a liar. John, do you have to be so blatant about it? He that says he loves God and doesn't do his commandments is a liar. John, that does not agree with our gospel these days. He said, well, your gospel is not the same one Jesus preached. Because Jesus said, depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Paul wrote, let all that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So the more I'm understanding this and getting the mindset in me that each and every one of us, and I don't care, I'm looking at our young people back here. My granddaughter here's 11 years old, and her best friend's there. We've got others roughly that same age sitting right back here. I'm telling you, every one of you is a warrior of light. Every one of you has authority over any devil from hell. And I mean now. If you had the name, if you just learn who you are, you can be you're a warrior in your generation already. You can win people to Christ. You can lay hands on the sick, see them recover. We're an invasion of light. The whole world is covered with darkness, but we are the army of the Lord. See, this last day, it was prophesied by Joel, it's not going to be one man shows, really. It's going to be the army of the Lord. Everybody, rise up, take your place. Everybody walks in step, nobody trying to get above another one, but everyone doing what God called them to do. And if you do your part, you're a good soldier in the army of the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So as I'm understanding that, I'm going, no wonder we're told not to love the world, neither the things in the world. If we love those things, we will be distracted by those things. That's what Jesus was warning about. You better count the cost. I'm calling you to build a tower. I'm calling you to go to war against this other king. But know this. Anything back there that you love, it's going to get hit. And if you care more about it than you do your assignment. See, that's like a soldier saying, well, yeah, I'll be a good soldier till they start firing guns at me. Then I'm booking it. I'm out of here. We call those deserters and we shoot them. God gives you another chance. Seventy times seven, glory to God. I'll be in the army. There's no shooting, is there? So no wonder we're told to not love the world, neither the things in the world. If we love those things, we will be distracted by those things. We're soldiers in the army of light. If you want to know the truth of it, we are light. We are light come to destroy darkness, no different than Jesus coming to destroy it. He has become one with you. His life is your life. Get that. There is that tea glass, that mingling, that merging where if you spend time with him and in his word and in prayer and everything that's taught here, you become one. He said that they all be one. Father, as thou art in me and I in them, but that they all become one. He's not talking a horizontal oneness. He's talking a vertical oneness, you and God. But through that process, there is a horizontal oneness. As we link arms, like with every soldier, it doesn't matter on the front line. Listen, if they're shooting at you, that guy next to you in that foxhole is your best friend. Black, white, striped, polka-dotted. I don't care if he speaks another language. You'll load his gun for him. You'll do it. You guys are best buds. And if we ever really get this synced up, the body of Christ will be the same way. Hallelujah. We are light. We are light. See, that's why John, I thank God for 1 John. Thank God for him opening up that book to us. We are children of light. We're supposed to walk as children of light. I'll just be honest with you. I feel totally embarrassed that we're still talking about getting free from sin after this many years. God help us all. We needed a grizzled, old apostle. We needed gnarly John, all gnarled up and ancient. What are you doing messing around with sin? I thought you were a Christian. We are light come to destroy darkness. Light, now get this, light always destroys darkness. Have you ever noticed darkness never resists when you flip the light switch on in the room? How instant is the victory? Instant. Isn't that right? Flip, light. You enter the room, light. I believe it's going to come quickly. In this group, where you enter a room where there's devil-possessed people, and those devils are going to ask you the same thing they asked Jesus. Have you come to destroy us before the time? Have you come to torment us before the time? And yeah, buddy. Yeah, we did. That's what we're here for. Destroy the works of the devil. So light always destroys darkness, but the whole world lies in darkness. I'll just throw this in extra. The church, and yours truly included, has been way too much in bed with the world. We receive too much counsel from the world. We listen to their programs. We watch their stuff. And subliminally, you're more programmed than you think. And me too. I'm kind of glad for electronics fasting week myself. It's going to be good to get a break from that constant flood. You're trying to watch something new. You know, well, maybe that'll be a good, you know, coming out with a new series. Now, at least used to, they'd wait till season two before they introduced the alternate lifestyles. Now it's in the first 5 minutes. It's like right up front. Well, that's all of that. We just, first time you click, that's all of that, you know. Go to quit even trying. Just read the Bible, pray in tongues, go cast out some devils. Get some people healed, get some people saved. Most armies, the front lines aren't normally loaded with TV sets. You know, yeah, man, I just never saw any. You know. I see the whole world lies in darkness, and to love darkness is to diminish the light. We are light, but if you love darkness and you feed on darkness, it brings compromise. Can I say it this way? It brings gray. Remember the subtitle of that First John series? Getting the gray out of your gospel. You start feeding on darkness, even though you're light, and the mixture begins, and pretty soon your light has become gray, and you don't know why. Well, now you know why. And if you continue with that, it's going to culminate in lukewarmness, which Jesus hates. He would rather you be cold. Every time I read that in Revelation, he says, I would rather you be hot or cold. Man, he does not like lukewarmness. We are to set our love and our affection on things above. Now, most of you can recognize the scriptures. You know, it's Colossians chapter 3, I believe. We are to set our love, and really the better word there for that word is affection, on things above, where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. See, positionally, we're already seated there in Him. He is there as the representative of all of us. His authority there is what we use here to accomplish the will of the Father in the name of Jesus. Christ sits on the right hand of the Father, and we're to put our affections there. Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. Now, this is really another lesson, previews of coming distractions or attractions. Why do you think there's all those promises to those that overcome? They're not made to those that don't. They're not made to those that don't. To him that overcomes. Overcomes what? Read what he said to those churches. You'll find out. Have you left your first love? Have you left your first love? Have you gotten to the place where you're content and you're warmed and filled and you have need of nothing and we're good and we're prosperous? And life is good, you know, and I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven and everything's great. And Jesus says, you're blind, naked, sick. You have a reputation that you're alive, but you're dead. But to him that overcomes, one of the things, one of those promises, I will grant to sit on my throne with me. See, it's one thing to positionally be there. It's another thing to effectively be there. There might be some overcoming involved. You see, that goes back again to boot camp, goes back to training, goes back to war. I don't want, if my life depended on a soldier, I do not want the one that failed boot camp to be the one that come after me. I want G.I. Joe. You know what I mean? Lean, mean, fighting machine. That's the one I want. I don't want no flubber belly, whatever that is, flubber belly, softy boy, come at with a pea shooter. You know, what kind of gun you got? Shirt shoots water. No water pistol, please. Come rescue me from 2,000 devils, please. No. I want the overcomer. I want the one that went through the training. I want the one that's overcome. Well, Jesus is the one that overcome, and he has willingly shared his life with us. He reminded me again. He said, my life is your promised land. My life is your promised land. It is yours to be possessed. But I've made it available to each and every one of those that believe on me. All that I am is yours. That's good stuff. We are on temporary assignment here on planet Earth during this time. You do know this Earth isn't going to last forever. There's coming a new heaven and a new earth. I'm going to say it a different way. Everything that Adam ever touched is going to be gone. Everything that sin ever touched is going to be gone. It's going to be a new earth. It's going to be a new heavens, where only the last Adam reigns and those born of him. You understand that? We are just on temporary assignment here. This is the only time we get to be those soldiers who invade darkness with light. This is it. And we can rescue many people. Not only rescue them from hell, get them saved, but we can get them healed. We can get them delivered. We can get them new legs if they need legs. Whatever it is. So I finished up writing it this way. Let us endure hardness as good soldiers. Isn't that what Paul told Timothy? Let us endure hardness as good soldiers. Let us be about our Father's business. Let us lay aside not only every sin, for crying out loud, but let's lay aside every weight. That word means exactly what you think. If you look it up, it means you're literally running, holding like a 100-pound sack of potatoes or any kind of weight. But it's going to slow you down. It's going to wear you out. Not everything is a sin. But a lot of things are weights that you just don't need for this race. It's going to wear you down. It's going to wear you out. You won't finish. So let us lay aside not only every sin, but also every weight that would hinder us from finishing our race with joy. It is time for Joel's army, the army of the Lord, to rise up and invade the darkness. Do you agree with that? Just raise your hands for a moment. Now I'm just going to pray. I think the thing to do is you can just agree with your heart if you like. Father, with all that I know, I've delivered the message you gave me for today. And your people are hearing, Lord, not only those in this room, but by way of internet, by way of MP3. Father, we've had blinders on our eyes. We've not even known who we are. We've not understood what you're doing. But Father, more and more, we're becoming a people that see. we understand the purpose of God. We're beginning to really understand that you've made us one with Christ, and we're in this army to invade darkness with the light of your truth, the light of who you are. Father, we're in that fasting season, especially this week, Father. Really focus on the things of the Spirit. Father, we pray that same prayer that Paul prayed to the Ephesians, for the Ephesians. Father, you open the eyes of our understanding. Father, open the eyes of our understanding that we comprehend the truth of your gospel, that we comprehend our place in the body individually, that we understand the next step that we need to take toward you. Father, thank you for your grace that empowers us to bring discipline to these bodies, that they not rule us, Lord. And thank you for the truth of your Spirit guiding us and leading us every step of the way. We love you, Father. We love you, Father. We are children of the light. Father, we shall walk as children of the light. And if you agree with that, you can say, amen, amen. Well, I believe that's his mind for today.